Open your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 29. I don't believe the Lord is wanting to drag things out tonight. I think He has for us a simple message that will be something that we will be able to take with us this week and focus in on this message and word He has for us tonight. 1 Samuel 17 and verse number 29. And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" Let's join together in prayer, asking God to speak into our spirit as we get ready to preach unto you tonight on the message, "Is there not a cause?" Dear God, you see each and every one of us tonight, oh God. We don't want to be forgetful hearers of the Word of God tonight. We don't want this Word to come by, oh God, and for us to look at it and to smell it, oh God, and to taste it and just say that it's good and let it go on by. But dear God, we want this Word, oh God, to be something that we can grab a hold of, dear Jesus. We want the Word of God, something that we can plant within our heart, dear God. We want the Word of God to be something, Lord, that we can have rooted and grounded within us. Something that is true, something that is solid, something, Lord, that will give us strength in the battles to come. In the beautiful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Hallelujah. Let's get some background here on where David finds himself at. If you back up in 1 Samuel 17 here and begin to read in verse number 17 tonight. And Jesse said unto David his son, "Take now for thy brethren an ephod of parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captains of their thousand, and look how my brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went. And as Jesse commanded him, he came to the trench, as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them." I want to tell you tonight that you are going to go forth and fight the same battle this week as you fought last week. And you're going to fight the same battle this week that you fought last month. And you're going to fight the same battle last month. You fought the same battle rather last month as you fought last year in some areas of your life. I am thankful that there are battles that we do win. There are victories that we do accomplish. And if you don't win those battles, and if you don't defeat those enemies, you will see them again. But there's some enemies out there. And until the day that God takes us home, we're going to fight those enemies. And there's some of those giants that have been in our life for a long time. And God wants us to realize that we need to stay focused on the enemy tonight. There are many things that the devil tries to do to get us distracted from what is the main thing. There is a Goliath out there in your life. There is an enemy out there that is stopping victories that God wants to bring into your world. And you have fought against that enemy. And the devil comes by and he whispers in our ear again tonight and says, nobody has ever defeated this enemy. He is the champion of the Philistines. We don't have what it takes to see victory here. But there was one young man that was willing to say, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason why that we should stand and fight? Is there not a reason why that somebody would purpose in their heart that I am going to engage that enemy? Many times we are frightened by what the devil has to say. We're intimidated by his tactics. We, some way and somehow, we become accustomed to that enemy being there, and we are persuaded that we just have to coexist. But I want to tell you, there is some victories that the Lord can give the church if there's somebody that's willing to say, there is a reason to fight this battle. There's a reason why that I am going to go again and fall on my knees and call on the name of the Lord. They're still not baptized in Jesus' name. They're still not filled with the Holy Ghost. They're still not living for God. They still haven't forsaken the world. They're still not living right. They're still not doing right. They're still in need of something from God. And somebody's got to be an intercessor. Somebody's got to get down and rock the portals of heaven. Somebody's got to build a memorial before God. Amen. You say, can we really get God's attention? You can really get God's attention. The Bible tells us that the angel of the Lord appeared unto Cornelius. And he told Cornelius, your prayers have come as a memorial before God. This was not somebody that spent a couple of minutes and then decided it was time to go play Monopoly. This was somebody that was saying, I have got to rock heaven. I have got to make sure that I have a prayer that gets off the ground. I have got to get a hold of God. I have got an enemy that has got to be defeated. There is a giant that I have come against. I have fought him yesterday. I have fought him last week. I fought him last month. I fought him last year, but there is victory that can be had against Goliath. Goliath can be defeated. There is a cause. And we see here that what the devil was trying to do was trying to turn David's own brethren against him so that he would not have the support that he needed to go out and conquer and defeat the enemy. As an army has to fight together. As an army that has to be trusted that this person has got your back. When you go into the battle and there's real bullets that are flying out there, you need to know that there's somebody watching on the backside. There's somebody back there that's making sure the enemy's not going to sneak up and defeat you. I want to tell you something. We've got to have the preaching of the Word of God. We don't need to be blindsided by the enemy. The world is deceitful. The world has its wickedness. The world has its evil. We need somebody that's out there knocking on the door and saying, hey, there's something here that you need to watch. I want to tell you, in a society that we live in, I love the great and wonderful technology that God has given us, and there's many wonderful ways that we have where that there's great and wonderful communications. But we still live in a world, and we still have the Word of God that tells us that a tell barrier is something that is terrible. Gossip is not healthy in any means or way. So I am concerned about all the social media that is out there, because it is very easy to be just giving information. I just want to tell you the news. I just want to inform you of the latest. And it turns into words of spite. And I have seen those that try to use social media as a means to tear someone else down, to settle a score, to tell the world how mean and terrible this person is. And it's not right, it's wrong. Whether I am telling you face to face, I'm talking on the phone to my best bud, I'm in the house of God talking to someone else, I will give an account for every word that proceedeth out of this mouth. And I have a command and a mandate from the Almighty God to be one that brings forth a fountain of sweet water that is a water of health, a water of blessings, a water of encouragement, a water of strength, and a water of friendship to those that are around me. And as I told the adult Sunday school class this morning, I was greatly disturbed after reading a book. This person was very adamant in the fact that it was wrong to criticize others and to tell others that they need to change. That is the attitude of our world, and I want to tell you it's wrong. When somebody is trying to help you with the Word of God, when they're trying to help and instruct you and trying to encourage you to live right and do right, and you get your feelings hurt over it, you need to pray through. If you don't have a preacher that is willing to get out the Bible and read it and tell it to you the way it is, you're not going to make it. We are saved by the foolishness of preaching. The Bible tells us that the elders are to instruct the younger. And we are to honor them and to reverence them. You may not understand everything that they say. You may not understand, but you haven't been down the roads I've been down. You haven't seen the shipwrecks on the side of the sea. You haven't seen the carnage down in the bottom of the gully because somebody got too close to the world. Somebody got too involved with the sin of this world. Somebody loved the things of the flesh and the carnality too much. Modesty is never out of style. Godliness is never out of style. God looked at Adam and Eve, and one of the very first things He did was to make them coats to cover their nakedness. And when I look into the Word of God and I see those that were possessed of the devil, they were naked. And when they got in their right mind and the devil was cast out of them, the Word of God tells us they were fully clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus. There is a spirit in the world that tries to get people to take their clothes off. There is a lust devil that is in this world that is running rampant everywhere because it wants to destroy the sanctity of marriage, destroy the home, and warp our children forever. All you've got to do is show up at an event where there's a divided family. The mother and father have been divorced. And you're going to find children there that are emotionally torn. There they are. If I act like I like Dad, then I'm going to tell the world that my mom is wrong. If I go over and I act like I like Mom, then I'm telling the world that my dad is wrong. That's the devil's business, to destroy children and scar them for life. And leave them without a strong, guiding father and mother influence in their life. And it all starts back with the carnality and the lust of the flesh. There's the preacher of the world tonight. There's the criers of hell tonight. They're promoting their agenda. There's a reason why they're doing those things. There's a reason why the bright lights are at the casino. There's a reason why the neon is down at the beer joint. There's a reason why millions of dollars are spent on promoting drugs and premarital sex and all of the fornication and adultery on the big screens and the movie theaters, because hell has got their preachers tonight. There's a reason why we are fighting this battle. There is a cause tonight. There are giants out there, and we've got to defeat them one at a time. And in order to do that, we're going to have to bind together in the name of Jesus and go to war against hell, that this city may be delivered from the powers thereof. We are in a battle. We're in a struggle. The enemy is there, and we're fighting him. David saw all the men of Israel flee before Goliath, and they were sore afraid. The devil is a liar tonight. The devil wants to put fear into your heart. God is a God of peace. He's not a God that brings fear into your heart. He's a God that wants to bring order out of chaos. He wants to bring happiness to a troubled soul. But we're living in a world full of evil. We're living in a world full of fallen men, and we have got to fight that battle, and we cannot be afraid to stand up and proclaim that which is holy, that which is right, and that which is good. There's a very interesting passage in the Word of God that talks to us and says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." And this is one preacher that takes that verse very, very, very serious. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Stand up against them. I am in this world, but I'm not of this world. I am not a resident of this world. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I have a message to give to my world, and I want to have a good report of those that are without. And I want people to know the love that I have for God and the love that I have for people. But I'm not going to be a part of their sin. I'm not going to be a part of their ungodly lifestyle. I'm not going to go and put myself in a place where the mode of the hour is ungodliness and sin. I'm not going to a party where everybody's drinking beer and smoking joints. I don't care if Great Uncle Ebenezer's there giving million-dollar bills away. I am not going to be there. I have a mandate to protect my family, protect my soul, and to be in an environment where there is godliness and goodness that is being promoted. Our home is to be a sanctuary, a place where that God is welcome and His goodness and His mercy can be felt. The men looked at David and said, "Have you seen this man that came up? Surely to defy Israel is he come." These people were really carnal. They began to think about, well, if somebody could defeat this guy, he's going to have great riches, and the king's going to give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. But David was marching to a different tune. We march to a different beat than the world does. He wasn't looking at the carnal rewards that would come therein. He says the man that kills Goliath will take away a reproach from Israel. For this is an uncircumcised Philistine, and he has defiled the armies of the living God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. We talked this morning and talked about the descendants of Esau, the Edomites, and how it looked like all things were great and wonderful. They had wealth, they had riches, they had a secure location, they had power, they had might. And they did not have God. Be not dismayed at the wicked when for a moment it seems like they flourish, because it is momentarily. God's righteousness will prevail. So David was interested in the fact that this man had defiled God, and that the power of God needed to be demonstrated, that the goodness of God needs to shine forth. There's many, many other things that can come out of this story, but I want to tell you tonight. David was willing to go fight a battle because it was God's battle. And he says, I'm going to stand for God. There's a people standing for a lot of things out there in our world tonight. Most of them are very selfish. They're standing for their own greed. They're standing for their own lust. They're standing for their own pride, their own ego, promoting their ideas. But there's some people at 229 North Main in Seminole, Oklahoma tonight that, like young Daniel, have purposed in their heart, I have made a stand for God. There may be a giant out there, and today he may be saying that God is powerless. But he doesn't know what's coming his way. He doesn't know that there is a brook with five smooth stones in it. And one of those stones has got his name written on it. It's the stone of Goliath. Oh, it was more like a little pebble. It wasn't very big. It wasn't very much. But it was somebody that had stood for God. And he looked back and said, I haven't forgotten yesterday. I haven't forgotten last month. I haven't forgotten last year. No, I haven't defeated Goliath yet. No, I see that he has defiled God before. But there has been some battles that I have fought. And there are battles that I could not have won within myself. God has delivered you from some things. God has set you free from the world. God has worked miracles in your life in the past. And so you need to grab a hold of those miracles and say, I can do the impossible through Jesus Christ. No, I haven't defeated this devil yet, but he's just the next in line. God has delivered me. God has set me free. God has provided miracles for me. God has brought the things that I've needed, and he has been a God that's on time. I don't know how he's going to do it tomorrow, but I know he did it yesterday. Hallelujah. Hey man, that church van out there, that's a miracle van that's sitting out there. Thank God for it. God, amen, used us and blessed it with us again yesterday. But I can tell you something. You go out and you try to rent a 15-passenger van like that to have a day's activity to take some people somewhere, you're looking at $500 to $600 to rent a van like that for one day to take somebody somewhere. And God laid it on our heart after we started this church here that we needed a church van. And I began to look and I began to pray and began to see God's face. And I knew what other churches were having to pay for 15-passenger vans. I knew that they were spending $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 for these used vans, and that occasionally somebody might get one for $6,000 or $7,000. And huge monthly payments on these vans, and it was Goliath. You can't have a church van. You can't have something that you can take your people to meetings and church services in. It's not going to happen. And suddenly, God spiked the gasoline prices up. Went through the roof. And I went to see this old boy about a church van, and it was $3,000. That was a great deal, man. Didn't have $3,000, but it was still a great deal. And when I got there to see him about this van, Brother Lee, he looked at me and said, "I'm sorry, I done sold that van. Sold it yesterday to a daycare. It looked like that Goliath had won." But the guy was smiling. And he says, "You know what? I've got one out there, though, that's just about as good as that one. And I only want $2,000 for it. Would you like to look at it?" I said, "Yes, I would." I went out there and looked at the van, and we drove it around, and it had cool air, brother. Hallelujah. Hey, man, that's a big thing in a church van. You need cool air. Because you need to be good and cool so you can shout when you get there. And I told him who I was, and I was buying it for a church, and I said, "I've got $1,500. Will you sell it to me for $1,500? And he said, "Because you're buying it for a church, I'll sell it to you for $1,500. I wouldn't sell it to anybody else for that price." And so Goliath was defeated in God's time. There's other vans that we had went and looked at, and they took them off the market, said they wasn't going to sell them, a lot more money. But God has proven that the enemy can be defeated if we will seek His face, we will pray, and we will just keep on going. Man, I remember going and looking at a van over in Ada, and I called them up and talked to them about this van, and they informed me, here it was with a for sale sign sitting on their parking lot, and they informed me, "Well, I'm sorry, we were going to sell that van, but we got a bunch of money in this week in contributions, and we've decided not to sell it now." Bam, there you go. Didn't have nothing for sale. I'm trying to tell you something. There's enemies that are out there, and you're going to have to keep seeking God and keep looking until you find that right stone in the brook. Keep going back to the altar of prayer, knowing that this giant will be defeated. There's a cause, there's a reason that we're fighting. There's a reason that we're seeking God. I have children that need to be saved tonight. We have brothers and sisters that need the Holy Ghost. We got people that need the power of God in their life. We've got a battle to fight. We cannot stop. We got to go. There is a cause. There's a reason to pray. There's a reason to invite people to church. There's a reason to have Bible studies. Oh my, is there not a cause tonight? There's people that are lost, hundreds of them, thousands of them in our city, in our state, in our county, millions around the world. And there's only one gospel. There's only one truth tonight, and God has entrusted it unto us. I want to tell you something tonight. The Word of God is true or it's a lie. Can't be both ways. And there's a reason why the devil fights the revelation of the oneness of God. It is fought by every devil in hell. The deception and the bondage of Babylon. You look in the book of Revelation, the great harlot of Babylon is there gobbling up and destroying the souls. Why? Why do all the other churches in town almost teach and preach and proclaim the Trinity? A heresy, an abominable doctrine. It all boils down to this. The devil don't want anyone to be baptized in the name of Jesus. It don't matter how much they go to church. It don't matter what they read. It doesn't matter what they say, what they profess. As long as they've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, their sins have not been remitted. They're still under the sentence of death. They're still under the bondage of sin until they're baptized in Jesus' name. We're the only one that has the key to set people free. We're the only ones that are proclaiming the truth that will liberate them. We've got a cause to fight tonight. On every corner there's false doctrine. On every corner there's those that are being deceived. But there is a place that's proclaiming truth. There is a place where people can come and find true repentance of their sins. They can truly be forgiven and baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And all those sins are washed away. And now they've received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And the earnest of their inheritance have been attained. And they're on the way to eternity with Jesus Christ. There's a cause to fight. There's a cause to pray. There's a cause to bind together. The devil is a liar and the church will defeat life because we believe the truth. Hallelujah. Let's reach out to him. Hey man, could I invite you to come tonight? Can we come and stand around these altars and ask God to give us strength to fight the battles that we face this week? Oh God, there is a cause to fight, oh God. There's a reason why we pray. There's a reason why we seek your face. There's a reason why we bind together, oh God. Oh Lord, we're living in a world that is lost, oh God. We're living in a world that is shaping in sin and iniquity. Oh God, there is a cause tonight.